This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Get your scare on at JustAromaAway.com with our haunted attractions guide with creepy haunted houses and even paranormal investigations and a podcast. We've got family-friendly Halloween fun, too, with spooky craft tutorials. Find it at JustAromaAway.com.
University Center for Entrepreneurship and Women in Business Student Organization will host the first Millikan Makers Market on Saturday, November 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Oberhelman Center for Leadership Performance located on the first floor of the University Commons on Millikan's campus. This event is free and open to the public. The event will feature makers, crafters, and artists from the Millikan and Macon County community, offering a wide range of goods and services. Items include clothing, personalized gifts, soaps, candles, tumblers, jewelry, artwork, greeting cards, baked goods, and so much more. Some of the services will also include makeup, photography, and cello services for weddings and other special events. Since the Macon County Health Department's last update on Friday, October 8th, there have been 74 new COVID-19 cases reported in Macon County. This brings the total number of cases to 15,226 locally since the start of the pandemic. The total number of hospitalizations is now 16. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Reopening the borders. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. Foreign tourists and people visiting friends and family will once again be allowed to come into the United States through Canada and Mexico if they're fully vaccinated for coronavirus. The land borders have been closed for non-essential travel since March of last year because of the pandemic.
The White House says it plans to allow non-essential travel between both the Canadian and Mexican borders in early November. The move follows months of bipartisan calls to reopen the nation's borders to travelers. In Washington, Sean Lanchel, Fox News.
President Biden has meetings today about easing the nation's supply chain problem and is expected to announce the Port of Los Angeles will start operating around the clock to get more goods moving.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said President Biden's meeting with union and port leaders
to discuss the challenges at ports across the country and actions each partner can take to address these delays.
The administration's also meeting with retailers like Walmart and Home Depot to see what they're willing to do to end the supply chain disruptions. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
The House and Senate have now both passed a bill to raise the nation's debt limit into December, avoiding possible debt default next week. The House vote was a yes from every Democrat and a no from every Republican. A coroner in Wyoming releases the cause and manner of death for 22-year-old Gabby Petito. Her body was found last month in a national forest.
Teton County, Wyoming coroner Dr. Brent Blue said Gabby Petito's cause of death was strangulation and the manner of death was homicide. Blue would not comment on the investigation into Brian Laundrie, Gabby's fiancé, who was named a person of interest in her death. He says DNA samples were taken from her body and that it took a month to do this autopsy because they were waiting on specialists to assist.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. A wildfire in Central California has grown and jumped part of U.S. Highway 101 that's been closed since Monday. The fires burned 21 square miles, threatening homes and ranches. There's more containment of a fire in Northern California that's destroyed some RVs and mobile homes. America's listening to Fox News.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
If you're tired of big cable bills, you can get Newsmax TV for free. Millions are watching Newsmax, available now on major cable systems or for free on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and Vizio. Find it streaming on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, TiVo, Apple TV, and more. 7 million Americans have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphones. It takes just seconds, then watch us anytime, anywhere. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why. Start watching today.
Employees of the aerospace company Boeing are told they must get vaccinated for coronavirus by December 8th or possibly be fired. They can request exemptions due to a disability or sincerely held religious belief. A federal judge in Texas says United Airlines has to hold off on placing unvaccinated employees on unpaid leave if they claim a religious or medical exemption.
In addition, the judge said the airline could not deny any late requests from employees who claim religious or medical reasons for not getting vaccinated. United has said about 99% of its employees have gotten coronavirus vaccinations.
Fox's Rich Dennison. The Russian government warns the Biden administration against sending troops to Central Asia.
U.S. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland is in Moscow for talks with Russian officials. Russia has welcomed the visit, but is also sounding a warning. Nuland's Russian counterpart, Sergei Ryabkov, says he underscored during discussions that Russia is strongly opposed to any U.S. military presence in Central Asia. The U.S. had hoped to station troops in some former Soviet countries following the withdrawal from Afghanistan. In London, Simon Owen, Fox News.
Two more teams move on in the Major League Baseball playoffs.
The Houston Astros are heading to the AL Championship Series for the fifth year in a row, a 10-1 victory over the Chicago White Sox, as Houston will now host the Boston Red Sox for Game 1 of the ALCS Friday. The Atlanta Braves are heading to the NLCS for the second year in a row, as Freddie Freeman's eighth-inning solo shot elevated the Braves to a 5-4 win over the Milwaukee Brewers to advance, but they'll have to wait until Thursday to find out who they're facing.
Traffic all game. That ball's driven into right field. Bryant turns and runs.
Call courtesy of TBS, Mookie Betts with a two-run shot. Part of a 3-RBI night for him as the L.A. Dodgers beat the San Francisco Giants 7-2 to force a decisive Game 5 in the NLDS.
That's Matt Napolitano. I'm Chris Foster. Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Good morning. Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today, we've got a 50% chance of showers with thunderstorms possible after 10 a.m., mostly cloudy and a high of 76. Tonight, there's a chance of rain and thunderstorms, cloudy with a low around 61. For Thursday, showers likely, possible thunderstorms, cloudy and a high near 72. And then Friday, more rain and possible thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high of 68. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 55 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, October 13th edition of Byers & Company. Wayne Kent will be with us today. We'll also be checking in with Clay Gerhardt from the Decatur Park District, Tanya Andrix, Mark Topper, and more. The company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and howdy do. We welcome you to Hump Day. Nick, you walked around the edges of this yesterday and I just didn't see any of the flares. It was your birthday. And we got in with the show and I immediately had a call and you walked out of, you said goodbye through the window, yeah. And then I opened up Facebook or LinkedIn or something, and it said, congratulate your friend Nick on his birthday.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not.
I feel terrible.
No, you shouldn't.
Well, I do.
Well, I'm sorry about that. You shouldn't feel bad about it. You should be happy.
Well, no, I am happy.
That I don't know that I had a birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, don't have any ill feelings towards
me. And I missed it?
No, you're fine.
No, you said something a couple of times around Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, landing on your birthday, and I didn't even put it together at all.
Oh, I wasn't doing the old, boy, I sure wish Brian
No. I'm not suggesting that you were. How old?
42
years old. I think I remember that birthday. I'm not quite sure. It seems like a long time ago. Well, happy belated birthday.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you. I apologize for missing it yesterday. Did you have a good one?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So it was nice.
Do anything fun?
I started building the, Lego Aston Martin, it's the hardest build I've tried to do. I started to do that yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
What size? What's the scale?
I would say it's probably about like a foot. I don't know what the scale is off the top of my head, but it's probably about a foot long.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. Very intricate. Watched some of my favorite episodes of, like, I picked a few shows of ones that I really like, and then put on the Big Lebowski and started working on some Lego. Had a nice dinner, and it was great.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad you had a good one, and it was a beautiful day.
Yeah. And like I told you, I even got some of my favorite weather at the 1 a.m. You know, of the, I guess it would be the wee early hours of my birthday. I got some of my almost nasty but not nasty weather that's my favorite. So it started off really nice.
Well, good. Well, I apologize for missing that.
Okay.
Hey, I got to ask you, and this is playing out everywhere in professional sports, but the Nets have basically banned Kyrie Irving from the team until he's vaccinated. What happens with this?
They're going to probably part ways at some point.
Well, so another team's going to pick him up?
Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, of course they will.
He's a seven-time All-Star. He's a top three or four point guard in the NBA. So somebody would probably be like, we don't have that rule here. Come on down.
Okay, but they're going to then just say, if we go to New York or we go to California, we'll just
take the night off, bud.
Okay, really? So they said, and it is different, you know, being in a home team in one of those states where you would be a part-time player.
Yeah, and in particular those cities, because it's those cities more so than the states.
Well,
because California has multiple teams.
You're right about California. New York is New York. You know, you're not
New York, all of New York is that.
Yeah. So will we see more of this?
I don't know. I mean, he's as big as it gets as of at this moment. Actually, you know, the more I think about it, the NBA might show some solidarity and say, hey, you're not doing this right. And this one I don't know. It could go either way. I mean, there was talk. There's a disgruntled star player on the Sixers named Ben Simmons.
Oh, explain this guy to me.
I can't.
Okay, thank you.
He's just disgruntled. He's just unhappy.
He's unhappy without any of the pedigree to... From the outside looking in, I mean, last year, the whole idea, the performance, the play, I mean... He's a guy who's unhappy, who doesn't seem to have the leverage to do anything about it.
It's weird because he was the number one overall pick.
Yes.
The best player maybe in Australian history and has been an all-star and at his best is a top. His play level is top 10 NBA. Consistently, not close to that. And his jump shot is zero.
But here lately.
Yeah, lately. He has not earned. He's taken some hits to his stock. There was talk that maybe Kyrie would be swapped for him, and the Sixers says, nope, not interested.
So this is the first really big star. Yep. I think across the board, any entertainment world.
Where it's just ran into.
Where the team has said, sorry, you're not coming in. You're not going to be a part-time player. We're not going to do this.
There have been a couple, and I won't remember who they are. There have been a couple actors that have kind of been like, hey, we just can't work with this. It's just too hard. But
the idea that you can't even remember who they are, I mean, suggests they're not superstars.
They were big enough that, but not to the, I guess Kyrie would be bigger than them, probably.
Yes.
Okay.
No, certainly.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what comes next here. I mean, do they trade him?
If they can get some for him, I'm sure they would welcome it. Yeah.
Okay. And is it worth it to him?
No. I mean, he's sticking to his guns. I mean, that I will give him, that he believes in something so firmly that he's willing to put his money where his mouth
is. But what is it that he believes in?
I don't know. Other than the only thing I do know that he believes in definitively is flat earth. But I don't know what it is particularly that he is so adamant about this, but he has his convictions and he's sticking to it.
You sound like you admire that.
No, I that choice sometimes is not the right choice. I mean, people have died in the face of that, not with COVID, but doing very, very dumb things. But they were firm in their convictions. He's not wavering. He's principled in what he's doing, even if he's misguided.
Okay. I mean, can you be principled and misguided at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
You just have a wrong set of principles.
Okay.
I mean, honestly.
I'm splitting hairs maybe on the vernacular. I mean, principles to me, I can be a hardcore gang member and be principled and still sell drugs to kids and murder people.
That is correct.
Doesn't
make you a good guy.
Yeah, and so I think principles is the word I'm getting hung up on.
I'm not endorsing him. I'm not praising him. I'm doing nothing than other. I don't feel like he's playing a game. I guess what I'm saying is he has a set of values he believes in, and he's not playing games with them. He's holding true to them.
Okay, would you describe Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, in the same way?
Yeah.
You would? Mm-hmm. You would say he's principled in what he's doing there?
I've seen him on a couple things, a little bit back and forth, but by and large, yeah. I would say that he has a set of rules he's playing by, and here they are. I don't like it in some of these cases, any of these examples you're bringing up.
I guess the set of rules is what I'm questioning.
Because they're different than most everybody else.
Well, they're different than the science. They're different than the doctors. And it's also an effort, unlike Kyrie Irving, who's only impacting really himself and his family in his decision-making process. He would impact more people than that if he's around other people. But where Texas Governor Greg Abbott is trying to, like, literally sabotage efforts, and he's literally going to have a showdown with American Airlines and Southwest Airlines and others that are based in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like
what Greg Abbott's trying to do is say, you know, I'm going to be Kyrie Irving for an entire state.
Right. I mean, it's like the Muerta, you know, with the mafia. It's like they will have you believe. Or it's sold as this, you know, honor amongst thieves and, you know, all these very, you know, we have a set of code. This is what we have to do. And you look, all that adds up to all this terrible stuff. I mean, it's not me saying, hey, good on you. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that some people just have a different way of going about it. And a lot of times people get hurt in the process.
I think I'm agreeing with you and disagreeing with you at the same time.
Which is...
It's okay.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like when you describe it as principled, it sounds like you're standing on some sort of moral high ground.
That's probably what he believes he's doing.
Yes.
I don't necessarily believe that.
John Hinckley believed he could get Jody Foster by shooting Ronald Reagan. I mean, I don't know that what individuals believe is always the same thing as principled.
Well, it's not principled sometimes looking in. It's probably principled to them, their own perspective.
His decision to make. You know, how much money has this guy made at this point? I mean, a ton, right?
I without glancing, he's got, I would guess, over $250 million with shoe endorsements and also his nine-figure NBA contracts.
Okay.
I mean, he's rich. I don't know what his endorsement deals look like anymore.
So maybe he's got enough money that he doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, I think, particularly, and it seems with athletes more so than other celebrities, that they're sort of late to the information game.
Yeah, sometimes.
You've had a new number of people, including recently LeBron James, say, you know, he had to investigate this for a long time and had to, like, I'm not quite sure. That explanation seems to me that, like, you paid attention to misinformation for a long time and then had to get accurate information.
Yeah, you would think that, you know, and in that case, it's hard to, I'm not going to go down that road. I just feel like there's a lot of opportunity that if you hear certain things around your inner circle. You don't even go outside your circle.
Right. But there's also sort of this statement within the lines that there hasn't been accurate information out there to find. There's been accurate information from the get-go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not with any question.
So this whole idea of many of these pro athletes going, well, I had to really do my research. That really sounds to me like code for I had to really go look for accurate information after being fed a lot of misinformation.
Yeah, I've been hearing this so long that I need to bust out of my bubble and take a peek. And, you know, in the case of somebody like LeBron, he probably could call just about anybody on the planet and they'd answer.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got resources.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, hey, is this legit? Is it legit? Okay, cool. I better probably get this done.
So who blinks here, the NBA or no. Kyrie Irving?
Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
Yeah, and nobody. I don't think the NBA takes a step back.
And why should they?
They could do one thing. They could maybe change the protocols if that develops, if testing changes.
They won't. They're not gonna risk this industry that they have. They went through a year that nobody wanted to go through in sports, and they're not gonna go back to that. I mean, they're not for one player.
I mean, what I'm saying is if there's some major development where you can get tested hourly or something and have instant results to where it is, you know, hey, you're going to have to get checked every something stupid like that. If that comes along, then I'm sure they would allow it.
Maybe.
Because they are. That is what the discussions are. People are having arguments about natural immunity and having your levels tested and stuff. I mean, so if there is some sort of scientific procedure that could keep him safe up until a point, then I imagine they would let him do it.
Okay.
But we're long, long, long way away from that.
Yeah, I don't know where the science is on that, but I don't think they're not gonna put at risk the entire operation for him.
They're not. And like I said, it would have to almost be real time wearing a monitor that says I'm good kind of thing, you know? And that doesn't exist yet.
Okay.
May never.
When we get back on the other side of the break, Wayne Kent's going to join us a little later today. Clay Gerhard will check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Tony Andrix will be with us. Big action-packed Wednesday here on Byers & Company. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. A little rain is going to fall.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a 50% chance of showers today with thunderstorms possible after 10 a.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy today with a high of 76. Tonight's got that chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy still with a low around 61. For Thursday, almost the same, showers and possible thunderstorms, cloudy with a high of 72. And Friday's the same, a little chillier, showers likely, possible thunderstorm, mostly cloudy and a high near 68. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 55 degrees. Your WSOY time is 621, and this look at your weather brought to you by Staley Credit Union, celebrating 91 years of service.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Millikan University believes in the promise of Macon County students. That's why we've made our own Macon promise to you by giving a reduced tuition rate for all new Macon County students. This reduced rate is guaranteed for up to 4 years, relieving the stress of uncertainty about college costs. Students are also eligible for additional scholarships and financial aid. We're here for Macon County. We promise. Learn more about the reduced annual tuition rate for new Macon County students at millikan.edu/Macon Promise.
Looking to fall in love with your new home? This is Allie, Director of Marketing with Eagle Ridge of Decatur, your affordable, assisted lifestyle community. You can count on us to provide home-cooked meals, small group activities, and outdoor visitations with family and friends. We are still accepting move-ins at this time. There is no better time to call than right now. Stop by 875 West McKinley or call 872-1282. That's 872-1282. Managed by Garnet Management Solutions, we are an equal housing opportunity lender.
Do you know where to find beautiful apparel and spectacular gifts? Shop on Main, of course. This boutique has ghoulishly delightful sweaters, pants, jackets, and accessories that are perfect for most ages, budgets, and styles. Join Shop on Main Wednesday, October 27th for Witch's Night Out from 3 to 7 p.m. Treats and specials will take place, so don't be frightened away. Come to play. Shop on Main, 407 North Main Street in downtown Decatur, or online at shop-on-main.com. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I don't spend enough time listening to the Doobie Brothers, I don't think.
Yeah, I've been kind of, they've been growing on me a little bit.
I remember when I was a kid, it was one of the first HBO music specials. There was a Doobie Brothers concert. They just had a stage full of musicians.
That they did.
Yeah. Wayne Kent knows all about that. He's been traveling around the world a great deal of his life with bands and musicians. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Brian. It's good to see you. I'm looking forward to another fine day here in Central Illinois. And yes, the Doobie Brothers were incredible. Of course, they weren't brothers.
No. But they probably did smoke doobies. So
Doobie was not their last name.
No.
Contrary to popular opinion, perhaps.
Yes, just like that Lynyrd Skynyrd guy. All right, so back in the day, that was the thing. You know, a big stage full of really good musicians. I feel like we've lost that.
Yeah, when I was on the road, we traveled with 3 to 5 singers, a full rhythm section. So we're talking about keys, drums, bass guitar, acoustic guitar, and then at least 3 brass players.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Yeah, I mean, music has moved on from there, in ways it has, though you still listen. You were having a chat on somewhere along the line. I was listening to somebody talk about Bruno Mars recently.
Yes.
It's really still, nothing like a good smoking hot brass section, in my opinion, but there you go.
I totally agree.
I'm 63 years old, so it probably reflects that.
Yeah, do you remember Dr. Ronald Bing?
Yes.
You know,
he and I had very different careers, but similar experiences, I think.
Right. He was with REO Speedwagon, you know, when they had horns, at the beginning.
Yeah.
And like Chicago or any of the great bands that had the horn section, ended up touring with Elvis, of all people, which had to be incredible.
Then you turned into a surgeon.
Yes.
Amazing.
Left brain, right brain. Every once in a while you get those combinations. Well, he was a great guy. Really always enjoyed time with him. All right, what's going on in the in your world?
Well, of course, William Shatner goes to space today. That has my attention. I'm just 90 years old, grabbing life, by the horn and saying, let's make it happen. So I'm absolutely fascinated with that story. I know maybe it's getting old to everybody else, but his 10 minutes of fame in space, go for it, man. Enjoy it, and I hope it turns out well for you. The whole thing is going to last 15 minutes from takeoff to hitting the earth again in a parachute.
That was a brilliant move on behalf of the company getting him. He has huge social media following. He is funnier than all get out. I watched an interview with him this past week about going up. I think this is a media boom for all space travel. I mean, this is the smartest thing they've done yet in putting a citizen in space.
And if I look like him at 90 years of age, I'm going to be happy as all get out. I mean, you look at him in that spacesuit thing they've got him in. He looks brilliant.
Yeah.
90 years old. He's got. I go for it. Full head of hair and
full head of hair. That hairline is lower than it was when he was on the original Star Trek TV series. I'm not quite sure. I'm interested in that too. It was supposed to happen yesterday. Got scrapped for weather. It looks like it's a good go today, and we'll see this. What's your thought? Would you go in space? I mean, would you take one of these trips?
Well, Kevin Burhaney and I had this discussion together, and I think we both said yes. Then we thought about our grandkids, and you go, maybe, maybe not. But I'd certainly have to come up to the line and have a very serious thought about, am I going to take this on or not? I would love the opportunity. I'd be as scared as all get out. I mean, my heart rate would be through the roof. I mean, I don't do roller coasters. how could you pass it up, right?
Yeah. No, I think that Nick would be right there with you. I'm not sure I'm there yet. Will it be in our lifetimes? Will this be just a common thing, or maybe somebody at 42, like Nick's age, 30 years from now, 20 years from now? I mean, how soon do you think it's just sort of commonplace?
I think it's a ways off, just the expense involved. I mean, it's not like It's significantly more technically challenging than even if you could say 100 years ago when flight was first introduced to the common public. It seems to me, at least. Plus, just the physical demands of going up and what I'm an old guy who doesn't know. So I would hope it could be commonplace, but the question would be for what reason? It's not like you know when flight was introduced, it was because you could go from point A to point B. Just to go to space, I don't know.
I don't know. Someday, though, Wayne, they're going to be sitting around talking about this time as sort of the Wright brothers, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Right. So we'll talk about that. I've also got a story out of Pittsburgh that after the Steelers beat Denver this past week, out in Heinz Field, there was a pile of dust in the stands and on the field, and come to find out somebody had spread a relative's ashes both in the stands and on the edge of the field. And I don't know what to think about that.
Well, they know what to think about that. It's illegal. And in Pennsylvania, evidently, unless you have permission, it's illegal to do that anywhere.
Well, fair enough, yeah. It's, you know, that's often a question we'll get from somebody, say, hey, so-and-so has died, and I've got their ashes. Can I go spread them on mom's grave? And I go, you have to talk to the cemetery people about that, because for the most part, it's definitely frowned upon. My in-laws, when they were telling us about their plans for when they died, they wanted to be cremated, which they were, and they wanted us to sort of do something over the desert out in the west somewhere. And I'm going, well, that's just unusual, because where in the desert do you want to go? Utah, New Mexico, you know, Arizona. And so in the long run, we've buried their ashes in a military veteran's grave in Black Mountain, North Carolina, where they grew up. It just became problematic to figure out how to do that, and was it legal and was it right? And yeah, so the whole issue of how to manage people's ashes, I think, is something that our culture is going to have to figure out in days ahead, because cremation rates are going up and up and up, and cemeteries are becoming more and more expensive. So what shall we do?
All right. Is an expense thing? I mean, this is an interesting conversation. Why do you think they're going up? Is it just the money? Is it just sort of people feeling a little bit more one with Earth? It certainly sort of makes sense to me, but why is it that they're skyrocketing?
I think it's a combination of both the idea of taking up space in the earth for the next, you know, in a cemetery for the next 400 years, because really once a cemetery is a cemetery, it can never be used for anything else as far as, unless there's all kinds of remediation work done. And then I just wonder if people are saying, you know, if it really is dust to dust and ashes to ashes, then why are we worried about, you know, embalming and so forth? And yet there's a whole funeral industry that legitimately helps people in times of need, as you understand probably more accurately than perhaps in the past. How to deal with a loved one's body is very, very difficult. I mean, it's very emotional and very stressful, I guess, in many ways. I don't mean to dig into all of that for you, but the world around us is changing, and it would seem to me that burial practices are changing. I'm not so thrilled. If I was the Steelers or the people at Heinz Field, I'd be going, this isn't very helpful because it's just laying here on the ground. Now what are we going to do with it?
Yeah, no, I get it. Is there a spiritual side of this, an attachment one way or the other? I seem to have something in the back of my brain from childhood about a minister somewhere along the way suggesting that cremation wasn't a peaceful return of the body, that there was some sort of stigma attached.
Well, certainly within historic Christianity, there's a sense that to burn the body would be doing something to the image of God that's made within human, just the human body and the value of life. And there are different theologians along the way who have pushed against any sort of cremation. And I think it comes from the sense that they say all life is so valuable, why would you want to burn it? I don't know that I personally can get there theologically, but I can understand their concerns.
Interesting. I want to do the Viking thing. You like shoot arrows, like the whole pyre kind of thing appeals to me. I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. I suppose that's an individual question. But yeah, the Heinz Stadium field, probably not the place to do that. How do they get it in, you wonder, in today's security apparatus?
Yeah, how do they get past security? And then, seriously, they think, oh, we're leaving these ashes in the field. Well, think it through, man. Think it through that you're leaving a pile of dirt, if you will, ashes, that somebody's either going to vacuum up inadvertently or they're going to sweep it up, and then it's going to be buried somewhere else if they realize what it was. And, of course, the officials did. So I don't know that a person thought it through properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's problematic, I think. I'm aware of this. I used to say to Leslie, hey, if I die, go to Lowe's and get a washing machine box and leave me by the side of the road. And I'm just sort of cavalier about it. And then, long story short, I did a service for a dear friend. And in the midst of taking care of all the family, I didn't really grieve. A year later, I was doing another service back at the cemetery, about 15 feet from where that friend was buried. And after that second service, this was in the middle of winter, probably 20 years ago, I walked over to Lauren's grave, and I lost it. And I realized there's something about knowing that that's where the body is. There's something was cathartic and something very helpful to be able to go and say, that's where we put Lauren. And whether or not it was in ashes or in bones or in bone body, I don't know, was the issue for me. Just the cavalier approach, which I used to have, is not healthy. And it's simply that, cavalier. It's not good.
Wow, we just got deep there, Wayne. You got any? You pull us out of the deep end here. Anything fun tonight?
Well, in Israel, yes. Here's something fun. In Israel, if you're on the beach in Tel Aviv, now drones can deliver ice cream.
Yeah.
Or sushi.
One of the.
I love it.
I'm not sure about the sushi. I've got to be a little bit more particular about the delivery method of that. The ice cream. I guess if they get it to you before it melts, it's probably good. I did see a picture of those drones flying overhead. It's quite spectacular. We are in the Jetsons, for sure.
We are.
Yes.
I love it.
I do, too. Technology is a wonderful thing. Hey, before I let you go, thanks again for Friday and to BJ and all the folks out of First Christian Church. It was great seeing you in person. And thank you so much for the sponsorship and the phone lines and all that you guys did. To help us get to our 8.1 million pounds of food.
It's a stunning, absolutely stunning response from our community, obviously with the Buffett Foundation coming along with that big gift at the end there. But regardless of that, if you think about what we as people did, absolutely phenomenal, and all hats off to everybody involved and to the leadership and Neil, Karen, all of that, Brian. I would be fascinated now to figure out, to be part of the team that figures out what do we do with all these funds, but I'll leave that to other people, of course. But it's our pleasure to help out in the community however we can and whenever we can. And the people back at the church, as they were answering the phones, had a blast. I had conversations with people who were involved, and they were going, man, this is so much fun. I think the people who were new to that this year were surprised at how callers not only wanted to give their information, but were how energetic people were about, hey, I'm giving money, which is really a cool thing if you go, because often people say, I don't want to give money. But actually, you give them a good cause and a good reason to give money, it can be a moment of great health and sort of life-giving, a life-giving moment of joy to those who are the donors. It's a great day.
No doubt about it. Wayne Kent, The Direct Line. You can hear it tonight at 5 o'clock. Live. If you miss it, you can get the podcast at Nauticator.com. I don't know where to even begin. Way too close to home now about the whole burial thing, but it is an interesting dynamic to watch sort of detached from your body as you go through all of these sort of plans.
Yeah, I've been on the planning side once before myself, and
it's a very expensive endeavor.
It is,
and I don't mean anything. I don't have any. I told you the folks out at Dawson and Wyckoff in Mount Zion were unbelievable. I mean, they were super about everything.
It was a pretty place too.
Yeah, it is. I'd never been there.
Me neither.
I've driven by it, a million times. But I don't know where I fall on this. But if you do fall somewhere on this, you need to let your family know.
Oh, the burden that you can relieve having stuff in line.
Okay, but is it a burden, though? I think I've gone back and forth about that, too, right? I mean, my initial response was, you know, families trying to make decisions, and they want to make the right decision based on the person who has died, and if you don't know, you don't know, and you're trying to guess. But then I also thought, you know, this whole process is part of dealing with it, if that makes any sense.
It does. I guess maybe I was taking for people that get anxiety about, like, what to do and wanting it to be perfect, there's that burden. But you're right. I'll concede that it is part of the thing. After the fact, if your estate isn't in order and
I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about just the decision making on of the stuff that goes in, because there's a lot thrown at you just in the thing. I remember distinctly, and I'll say this only because I believe it proves there's no right or wrong answer. When Tuna and Nancy Rue died, you know, weeks apart, you know, it was the difference between the funerals of those two human beings and individuals was like night and day. One, there were people standing out on the streets as we passed by. I've never seen that in my life here, like on the sidewalk, just to, as the processional went by. And as we pulled into the Civic Center, straight down, what is this, William Street, here, and there were two fire trucks with an American flag the size of like this building, and a bagpiper, and all of that was completely fitting.
And that's where I stood, right by those two that big flag.
Yeah,
that's where I was at.
And it was an Irish funeral and a wake and a celebration of a man and his life and what he meant to the community. And Nancy, who was an angel on earth, we went to a very small funeral at a country church, and she was buried in a pine box. And they both felt
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know that there's a standard answer.
There isn't. There isn't. And you're right. That portion of it wasn't really a burden, except for those that get stressed out by.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm not to make it sound like a walk in the park. It's not fun. I just meant I don't know that there is a one size fits all. Mm-hmm.
There's not. And you can actually take a little bit of joy in trying to do it right for somebody.
Yeah. But I understand, I guess. I'm not a sports fan the way you are or others are. I mean, I guess I can understand why somebody thought this was going to be a good idea to go to, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, like the ultimate fan sort of thing. But I don't know how they thought it was going to work out.
Well, the fact, so in my brain, I hadn't read this story. It worked out different than I thought it would have. So I've put myself in the situation. If somebody was to do that for me in one of the Atlanta football stadiums or where the old one was, and I would imagine you sprinkle me up in the wind and I get carried away.
In your mind,
that's what I was thinking would happen. Not the Roadrunner situation, you know.
And it's not real turf.
No. No, but there's shaved parts of tires in there and stuff. I mean, there's dirt, fake dirt in there.
But there's no dirt. There's rubber little. I mean, come on now.
I mean, there is some sort of aggregate.
Yeah, I don't know. This doesn't work out in anybody's at the end. But what I didn't realize, though, was that there's like this whole lobbying side of the burial versus cremation argument. Like where each side's trying to, it's like a, like literally like a wind farm kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, like where they've got, well, you know, there's mercury released in the air. I mean, like, come on. It's whatever works for that family.
Mm-hmm. I've seen people that want to get buried in biodegradable things trees planted on top of them.
Yeah. I understand all of that. I just think that it was so funny because I just Googled this when Wayne was talking, because I had thought about this. You know, we were sitting out there and I asked, not that my dad wanted that or there was anything that we did that was that way, but I was curious because they had, you know, they don't have coffins anymore. They have like little pieces like on the wall, like you're like buying carpeting.
Mm. Oh yeah. Yep.
You know, they show you what it looks like. And then there was the one that was for cremation. And I just out of curiosity asked, you know, because there was a price tag on it. And he's like, oh, no, that's for the whole thing. But basically you rent a casket for the funeral, which isn't like the real thing. I mean, I had no idea.
Wait, so there are some people that get cremated and their ashes buried.
No. Well, yeah, there may be. I don't know about that. But what my point was, they had where you could have the visitation or the funeral like you would have anything else. I just, the expenses, I get that you want to give your loved one the best, and there's the pressure, I think, internally to sort of like do that. It's awfully expensive.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking towards technology in the future, and I'm very interested in cryo. But I can't imagine what that costs.
Really? I mean, you're really interested in that.
As interested as I can be in my own death. Yeah. Give me a second run at this thing if you can figure it out.
That seems like not a lot of closure for the family. I'm just going to say, Nick.
I'm glad you said that. Because I've never thought about that. That was super selfish of me.
That's okay.
But I'm going to
be over here waiting for a second chance.
Oh. Man, maybe that doesn't sound as good when you talk it out.
Listen, I don't know if there's a... I tend to think these things not in the terms of right or wrong.
Well, I need that sometimes.
Yeah.
I get principled the wrong way,
yeah,
Brian.
The most important decision you will ever make. Kind of. All right, we'll be back after the Marquee Coffee break. Fresh roasting coffee, locally indicated for over 40 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
High school football season is here, and First National Bank is celebrating all of the quality plays. Listen to the high school football broadcast with Eric Lee and the Newhoff team as they deliver the top games every week. First National Bank is happy to sponsor all of the top quality plays.
From tough first downs, forced turnovers, or touchdowns.
FNB has been in Central Illinois for 90 years, serving the communities of Pena, Assumption, Taylorville, Blue Mound, and Decatur. Listen for the quality plays brought to you by the Quality Bank.
We all have dreams. A fulfilling job, a great place to live, a sense of pride and accomplishment. But for many of us, these dreams simply can't be fully achieved without additional education or training. I'm Tony Holly of the Community Foundation of Macon County, and we're here to help you achieve your goals and reach your dreams. So we've expanded our scholarship program to include adult and non-traditional students. This program is specifically for Macon County residents aged 24 or older who have interrupted their schooling for at least 3 years after graduating from high school or after earning their GED, and help them in achieving a two-year, four-year, or a master's degree, as well as vocational training at Richland Community College and or Millikan University. To apply by the November 1st deadline, go to MaconCountyGives.org, or for questions, call us at the Community Foundation at 217-429-3000. Again, that's MaconCountyGives.org. 217-429-3000. We're here to help you jumpstart your path to your exciting next chapter.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, and I was, you know, we're watching The Sopranos. I told you that earlier last week, you know, from the beginning.
I love it. One of my friends is doing it. I get quotes every few days of things, and I'm like, oh, I remember that. That's so fun.
It's so dated.
Is it?
I mean, just the phones, the clothing, all of that.
At Casino Royale?
Yes.
Looks dated.
Yeah, but Casino Royale doesn't look dated to me, because even when it was released, it was taking place in another time. if that makes any sense. It wasn't a real-time story. It was traveling through time.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes. It was about the start of the mob in Las Vegas and then went through...
You're talking about Casino. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped to James Bond.
Oh, you said Casino Royale. I apologize.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that phone is not...
just the look of the clothes. But it's only like 2006, and it already looks...
When you say only, it's like only before Facebook started.
Well, there's a certain point, probably like, I'm guessing about 2009, where film is pretty crisp.
Yeah.
It still is pre that. And so I was kind of surprised. But Sopranos, the pork
Sopranos
shop.
Sopranos was 1999. Yeah. And so you think about what our TV looked like when we were watching that for the first time.
Was it in 4:3 format, not letterboxed? I can't remember.
You know, watching it on HBO Max, it fills up the whole screen.
It does? Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if they formatted it for that.
It's probably about that time.
Yeah.
That it was 16 by 9.
But it's not crisp. But it's not even that. It's just sort of, I mean, there's just a feel. Mm-hmm. And it's also the first season. It's taking me a while because I remember it at the end, not at the beginning. And with any TV series, like the actors, they take a while to like sort of, you know, I mean, assuming if I go back and watch the first season of Breaking Bad, or I go back and watch the first season of like anything, that will feel that way.
Yeah, Breaking Bad is a slow crawl.
Yeah.
Almost by everybody's standards. But once it really gets, that one really gets.
And it's good. It's mm-hmm. just not quite the masterpiece that I remember in season one. Mm-hmm. And I think it will build to that. But I'm watching it because Lindsay's never seen it. We decided we'll go back and watch it from the beginning. And James Gandolfini is, magnetic, even with the pleated pants and the really bad fashion. And everybody's like at home. They got the phones with the big antennas mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
And you think. That wasn't that long ago.
Right. And Artie Bucco's wife is on Godfather of Harlem. I like, I can't not see her as.
But it made me think because Stephen Van Zandt, who is, literally Bruce Springsteen's mm-hmm. guitarist.
He just released a book.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of stories from that guy. Little Stevie.
Little Steven. Yes. Not Stevie. Little Steven. It was Little Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, good call.
So I was reading an article yesterday about how the Sopranos cast came to be. Because, the Many Saints of Newark, I mean, there's all this nostalgia in the air. Kids have been watching the Sopranos since it was released, and particularly during COVID. It's got this resurgence, this brand new audience. And so people are really curious about, and right now, if you think about it, here's the biggest difference in time. Think about the what you had access to about a show in 1999.
Very little.
Right.
Entertainment Weekly.
The actual magazine.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of online stuff.
So there's this entire article in Life, which I don't often run across Life magazine online, about how all of the folks, and particularly sort of the character actors in and around, ended up by accident, and somebody knew somebody, how all that cast got populated.
Oh, I definitely 100% want to read that article.
And in the first reading for James Gandolfini, for Tony, it flamed out. I mean, it was a horrible experience, and he hated it.
Oh, man.
And in that book you just mentioned, Stephen Van Zandt says that the Gandolfini threatened to quit all the time. I mean, during the entire run of The Sopranos.
Oh, man.
So there's some fascinating tales about how all of those people ended up in that series.
I almost started that podcast you told me about. But I'm going to do it in parallel with rewatching. So I'll watch it, and then the next day I'll read or listen to the stories about that episode. I think that would be the way to do it.
Right. And then they all go back and they ruminate about how, like, Edie Falco heard there was a script going around. She thought it was about singers. She didn't have any idea what it was. But I think I have a new romance with Van Zandt's character.
Oh, he's one of the best. So goofy. So goofy.
Right?
Oh, it's like, I don't even know if it's so over the top.
But it's really not. You know, he plays Silvio Dante, and if you go back and watch, it's way more subtle. I mean, you think about the hair and the walk. You know, like he inhabited a character that had its own, you know, body language and everything else. But it's not that. It's not nearly as over the top as, you know, Paulie Walnuts.
Walnuts is, but that's the thing. Their actions are right in line with where you think they would be. But they have caricature type features that translated to this new movie. It's like they did things that were right in the pocket of believability. But they were just larger than life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good call on that.
Anyway, if you get a chance to read the Time magazine, it's interesting. I mean, how
Time or life?
When I say life, life. Oh, okay. Hang on. Let me. Yes, life.
Okay, cool.
I'll send you the. I'll forward.
Please
you the
do.
Link.
I will for sure read
because that. It the happy accidents that happen in life, right?
Oh yeah.
Or maybe they were meant to be, and not an accident at all. It just appears that way from the outside looking in.
Yeah, you know, it's tied somewhat to that. You know, Michael K. Williams, who was Omar from The Wire. He was a trained dancer and, you know, all of that. And he had that scar on his face. That was a real scar that went across the whole thing of his face.
Fight outside of a bar.
Yeah. And Tupac saw one of his headshots and was like, that guy looks like he has character. So that guy, Michael K. Williams, was discovered by a wannabe actor rapper who ended up being one of the greatest rappers just because of a scar on his face and ended up being, you know, one of the most iconic characters on TV.
You bet.
Just little things. All of those are so fun to read.
All right. Let's take a break. When we get back here, we've got a lot to do, including Clay Gerhardt from the Decatur Park District. We'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Here's Nick Smith with your three-day forecast.
Hey, today we've got a 50% chance of rain, maybe thunderstorms after 10 a.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 76. And tonight, chance of rain and thunderstorms, cloudy with a low around 61. Thursday, more of the same. Showers likely, possible thunderstorms, cloudy, and a high near 72. Then Friday, showers likely, possible thunderstorm, mostly cloudy, and a high near 68. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 55 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:55. And this look at your weather is brought to you by Palmer Tire, now offering Michelin and Goodyear tires.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Are you searching for a comfortable, safe, and secure environment where you can welcome family and friends? Eagle Ridge is the place for you. Eagle Ridge is the affordable, assisted lifestyle community for adults age 65 and better. Enjoy your private apartment with home-cooked meals, housekeeping, and a gorgeous patio and courtyard. They also have a 24-hour emergency response system with nursing staff on call for your personal care needs. All this in a financial assistance program that makes Eagle Ridge affordable for everyone. Call 872-1282 or visit Eagle Ridge, 875 West McKinley.
Hi, JR here from Speed Lube, and I'm just like you. I don't like waiting around for something to get done either. At Speed Lube, we pride ourselves in offering you the best customer service experience in as little time needed, featuring quality Pennzoil motor oil. Speed Lube and Pennzoil are two names you can trust to keep your vehicle running at tip-top shape regardless of the weather. Stop in and visit us at any of our six convenient Decatur area locations or our shops in Lincoln and Clinton, and get your Pennzoil oil change today at Speed Lube.
Add curb appeal with the new ThermaTrue entry door from Maroa Lumber. Whether you want the look of real wood or a pop of color, you'll find a wide variety of styles to choose from. ThermaTrue doors are durable and energy efficient. They won't rot like wood or dent or rust like steel. They offer up to 4 times the insulation value of most wood doors and carry outstanding warranties. No wonder they're the most preferred entry door brand among building professionals. Discover the ThermaTrue doors at Maroa Lumber, 229 East Main in Maroa.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, congratulations to the 20 finalists of Decatur's Got Talent. They're going to be competing at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater this Saturday night for that $5,000 grand prize. I will not be judging. Learned that lesson a long time ago in my career.
Oh, you don't want to be the one to pick
I was a judge at a karaoke thing. I'll never, ever, ever do that again. Right up there with running for political office. Those are the two things that will never happen.
Why not? The feedback?
People are nuts when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah. I judged karaoke once and a battle of the bands once.
And?
I'm not famous enough to get bothered.
I just remember, you know, I know everyone has fun with stuff, and that's great. But I just, man, those people, like, are serious. And it's like the Olympics or something. We'll be back.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Modern looks.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.